Blog Talk Radio.
It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory, if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Coming down the road, but we are coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League, a radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show this evening, I've got one going, Frank Dave. The great stuff. English Defence League radio show, Satellites and Satanites, take two. I say welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spiner Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Ecuador Milner. Tonight we are back with a full team. And powered up for this. Oh my God! Just bear with me a minute, guys. It just went small on me. I powered up for the discussion we meant to have on our show for the 3rd of December. Buckle up, listeners. The time has come for straight talk about the future of civilization. The cowards in power and their Islamic death cult allies want to burn it all down. But to their evil, we stand firm and declare no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, the great Edmund Burke in 1770. What a gentleman he was, eh? And those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Let me read that again, just to think what's going on, the times that we live. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was, of course, by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without a further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague, my great friend from across the pond, Dave Milner. Good evening, Dave. Is that you, mate? You've got all unknowns on me.
Yes, I'm unknown to many, but known to some. And soon to be known to others. Yeah. Hey, I didn't do that on purpose, but good evening to you, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. And good afternoon to everybody in the States. Hello to everyone around the world and, of course, off Earth. We have quite the show tonight. A lot of people are talking about the same old things, but we're going to be talking about the future of civilization, not only in the United States of America, though that's where it is oriented, the main topic, so to speak. It'll be a three-parter, and Jeff and I will discuss in between, but in other countries as well, because there's information in this thing that if you live in other countries, you can use. Okay, if you are watching your history, your civilization, and everything going down the tubes, there's something in this for you. And as we see with the onslaught of the lefties and their, and as it says in the script, their Islamic death cult allies, okay, the walls in some places are beginning to close in. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to be talking about that quite a bit here, but we're going to start out with something here, Jeff. We'll have to acknowledge the passing of an actor who is well known not only in the United States and around the world for one role he played, but who is also known in the UK for another role that he played. And of course, I'm talking about David Prowse, who died right around about a week ago. And this guy, okay, if you're familiar with the Star Wars movies, he's the guy that was in the Darth Vader costume. Okay, now it was not his voice that they used. They used James Earl Jones's voice, but that was David Prowse in the Darth Vader costume doing his thing. And Jeff, that wasn't the only role that he played. Am I right?
You're right, Dave. Back in the 60s, I think it was the 60s or early, late 60s, early 60s or the late end of the 60s, he came on as the Green Cross Code man that showed children how to cross the road safely, because as we know, sometimes kids can get excited and run across roads before you know it. Either in hospital or being killed. So at that time, they decided to bring on Mr. Prowse to do this great job. And he was the part. He was 6 foot or whatever, 6 foot 4, 6 foot 5, muscly. And he wanted someone that the kids looked towards. And he played that part very well for quite a number of years. So we all remember him. It wasn't just that part, but the Star Wars is what really people have always looked towards him, remember him for that part, even though that wasn't his voice, but the actual character, his person was doing it. So, yes, we've got a lot, and God bless him, and thank him, and I thank him for the great works that he did over the years. He done many other things. Our sympathies, of course, go to his family and to anybody that knew him. It's all sad, the passing of anybody, but someone who was as popular as that, it does, It's sad, but, you know, it happens to us all, doesn't it, Dave? I mean, none of us are invincible, and there was a time and there's a place for every single one of us, and there's no illusion behind that. But, yeah, thank you, Dave, for that.
Yeah, Jeff, well, you know, I almost feel like putting on the turtles now, you know. Anyway, no, I wanted to tell you, Jeff knows what I'm talking about. I wanted to get you to mention that, him doing what we call over here in the United States, those PSAs or public service announcements, because one of the pictures that I saw in a Daily Mail article about Mr. Prowse's passing was a picture of him evidently in the 1960s in costume, you know, and he's standing there and the kids that he was evidently in this PSA with came about to his knees, you know, but you can tell, you know, he's this, you know, vital young man, you know, grinning to beat the band and all this kind of thing. And a lot of times when these movie stars or TV stars or whatever pass, we don't remember other things that they did. And before we get off into our main subject tonight, the other one that made me think of was James Doohan, who played Scotty on Star Trek. A lot of people don't realize that he hit the beaches as part of the Canadian forces on D-Day. Okay. He was a hero. Yeah, he was a hero in real life long before he ever did Star Trek. You know, so when significant people like that pass, yeah, we do like to acknowledge it, especially David Prowse. I don't think I ever saw an interview where the guy was anything but just, you know, a really, really nice guy. And he always loved it when you know, the kids and the fans would come up to him because they knew that he was in the Darth Vader suit and all of that. He was just a good guy, and that is so rare now among our entertainment people, our, you know, what you might call show people, both in, Jeff, in your country and in mine and in so many others, because they have their nose in the air and they act like, you know, male body parts and this kind of thing, and they shove their politics in your face, and it's just
what they all think it's.
Well, it's a Sunday, that's why I said male body part. But yeah, I mean,
well, all fat away is. We got most listeners who understand it, and yeah,
oh, of course we do. Yeah,
dickheads, and they got a hell of a lot of them.
Yeah,
but
we do.
The good people, the nice people, and he was one of those gentlemen. Back to
your David. No, you're right, Jeff. But David Prowse was, as you said, you know, a nice gentleman. He was a class act. And, of course, you know, we always appreciate a class act, man. Now, Jeff, is there anybody in the chat before we get up into the main subject here?
Let me squeak around in there and chat and see who's there. Who's there? Ah, we've got our very own Bigfoot. Yes, we've got two people who's joined us this evening. He's saying, hi, Jeff and Agador. Also, we've got Lee Dahl. Good evening, Lee. Good to see you this evening, buddy. Good to see you, brother. And, of course, yourself, Bigfoot. So there you go. We've got two of our finest has joined us tonight, Dave.
Excellent. Yeah, Lee, welcome again. We definitely appreciate you because we know you keep up a vital part of the EDL there on social media. Excellent. And Bigfoot's place at blogspot.com is Bigfoot's blog there. And if you want to get in the chat, go to blogtalkradio.com. All right, look at the white top center search box. Type in English Defense League Radio Show. Follow the links and you'll get to our live page. If you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you will be able to get into the chat. And remember, we podcast live here Sundays and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. in the United States. Same bat time, same bat channel. Now, guys.
I love that, guys.
yeah. More memories from the late 60s. Jeff, God, we're old. Anyway.
Certainly, mate.
Let's
get into
this.
That man.
I think that's about the only thing that Burt Ward never said. Aside from, man, this costume is way too tight down below. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
that made my eyes water. That would have done.
That's what Burt Ward said. He said, yeah, that made for some very uncomfortable moments. But at any rate.
Dave, something else before we move on, and this is slightly going to the side of it. But I always used to wonder, I used to love Superman as a kid, and probably same as yourself, Dave, like most of us. But I always wondered, what was the reason behind wearing your underpants on top of the your leggings? What was that about? Because it always left me feeling rather uncomfortable. Because, otherwise you get a lot of kids running about with the underpants on the trousers. Do you know what I mean? I was wondering about that, Dave.
We all do, Jeff. We all do. I'm not sure why someone in the 1930s decided to draw people that way, but that's the way that it came out. Now, to get to our main subject, okay, what you're going to hear has applications in more countries than just the United States. But as we said in the show open, all right, time is beginning to run out for us to pass knowledge on to a future generation. And I say that this is vital to do because there's more and more and more of the cancel culture going on. And if, now Jeff, I know what you believe, but if Team Dementia manages to weasel its way into the White House, this is only going to get worse. And you guys in the UK know what I'm talking about as far as suppression of native culture, of indigenous culture, of your own countries. And I'm sure our listeners around the world, you guys are experiencing this too with your own governments, whether it's republics or democracies that you have, lefties, trying to suppress what you believe are your own native or indigenous cultures and the things that made your countries great. Okay? So, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to roll the first part of this. This is in three parts, and Jeff and I are going to discuss in between, and we'll also obviously take anything from the chat that talks about this in between. This first bit here is about 12 and a half minutes. You ready, Jeff?
Yeah, let's roll with it, Doug. Thank you.
Beautiful. All right, guys. Here we go. This is something, by the way, that you guys might want to share around once the show is over. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. What you are about to hear is meant to transcend time. Its purpose is to draw a line from the visionaries of today to the preservers of tomorrow to the patriots of an age yet to come. I'm Dave Milner. On September the 23rd, 2013, I released a recording I'd been wanting to make for some time. The program that was a minor reason for starting a show in the first place. From that initial podcast, the threat to individual liberty has only grown, not only in the United States of America, but around the world. This drove me to make notable updates to that original show. The audio may sound different at some points because my recording methods have changed. This is necessary because I intend to run this show each year as long as I am able. I invite listeners to share links to the following recording with all they know who value personal liberty. Show hosts and producers have my permission to use it as long as I receive proper credit, but far more important are the suggestions and messages it holds. They make up a formula that leads humanity from totalitarian darkness, an outline for the resurgence of the individual, a plan for the way back.
Stand by for action.
Thanks for joining me. My name is Dave Miller. I am the Unemployed Blind Guy. I often do shows based on what strikes me. I might see an article or I might hear a commentary that I think needs to be addressed or something like that. And this show is no different. What I want to do is address how we find the way back. Now, I think it's become pretty obvious to a lot of people that the United States of America is not the same country that it was when many of us were kids. I think you can say that if you're pretty much over 40 years old. I think it can also be safely said that we have to adopt a variety of strategies and tactics for dealing with this situation so that we can return to a point where personal liberty and a government governed by the people is the norm instead of the other way around, which it is now. I take a lot of techniques and whatnot from pop culture. And some time ago, I saw our personal liberty slipping away. And it reminded me of a series of science fiction books written by Isaac Asimov, the Foundation series. The first three Foundation books, Foundation, Foundation and Empire, and Second Foundation, addressed one very important thing. In these books, a galactic empire, which had represented order and peace, was breaking down through decadence, corruption, and other issues. The hero of these books believed that it would take 10,000 years before a new empire that would have real benefits for its people would rise again. So what he tried to do was to create social engineering that would guide people so that instead of 10,000 years, the what he called interregnum would only last a single thousand of years. Now, I put that in terms for today because we're very close to, and in fact, I believe personally that we have tipped over the point where personal liberty is no longer a priority in government. It has switched to control. Now, I know, and I think anyone else with sense knows, that there will come a time when the people demand a return of personal liberty. They will see their government as overreaching, dictatorial, heavy-handed. It's already beginning with some, but it's going to take quite a large amount of time, in my opinion, for that to sink in and for the average man and the woman in the street to demand a return to a time when the government will actually be run by the people. Now, this could take some time. If you look at the model of the Soviet Union, what you saw was that the communist system, after 1917, lasted for 70 years. And if you look at Russia today, you see that many of the same old hardliners that existed at the end of the Soviet Union are still around and still have influence. They still haven't managed to throw off many of the shackles of totalitarianism that communism has put on them. That being the case, one has to wonder how long it will take us here in the United States of America to return to a point where we demand a government that is run by the people and does not run people itself. Now, I tend to think of this time as an interregnum, as Asimov put it, and I tend to look upon conservatives and libertarians and other independent thinkers as the people who will bring the populace of the United States of America through this interregnum and into a point on the other side where the people will have the tools and the power to once again regain personal liberty. Now, 10 months ago, I wrote a piece, I guess you'd say, called American Sputnik, and it was fairly well received. If you haven't read it, you may want to do that. Now, this was inspired by something that Kurt Schlichter wrote called The Conservative Insurgency. I had these thoughts of some way to manage and preserve the correct information through the leftist interregnum into when it will be needed. But Schlichter kind of beat me to it. He beat me to it by a few days. Not being daunted, I saw one or two things that he hadn't put in and decided to put those in myself. Reiterated a few things that he said and came up with something pretty good. So if anyone hasn't read that, you may want to read The Conservative Insurgency by Kurt Schlichter and American Sputnik by me. I'm going to put both of those in UBG contact on the Twitter. Now, I felt, given the current commentary going on in the conservative community, that it was a good time to revisit American Sputnik and to add a few things to it. Now, I'm not going to read you the entire thing. What I am going to do is give you kind of the general sense of it, and I'm going to expand on it with new thoughts that I've had. And looking at the first paragraph, I see that, yes, the basic premise that I wrote down is still true. The leftists have only gotten stronger in media and pop culture, and conservatives are not going to be able to compete with them in that arena with the same strength. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't compete with them, or that we shouldn't try to compete with them. Not at all. It is saying, however, that we're not as strong as they are. Now, there are some people who are going to look at my whole viewpoint and say that it's defeatist, and that all we need to do is hunker down and work a little harder, and we can win through this thing, and it's all going to be all right. And listen, I'm not saying that people shouldn't try to deal with things as they exist now. I've never served in the military, but I do understand the difference, in this sense at least, between strategy and tactics. In this sense, tactics is how do we deal with something that's here? Strategy is how can we plan for what's coming? And what I'm talking about doing with American Sputnik and what Kurt Schlichter was talking about doing with the conservative insurgency is strategy. It is dealing with the future. And that's not to say that we can't move on all levels to try and restore personal liberty. Anything that we can do that's nonviolent and productive to further the cause of personal liberty and to keep it in the minds of the people is a good thing. No one says that we just have to hold with one technique or one strategy. There are more conservatives than you think, and we can all do different things. We're all good at different things. And this is our strength, I feel. So we all should do these different things. Basically, it's about find what you can do and do it. You don't have to do everything. I know there are some people who say you have to do it all or you have to at least try to do it all. I say do what you can. Do what you're comfortable with in your abilities. And if you have to leave your comfort zone because you feel that it's important to further the cause, that's even better. Okay, but do what you can. And what I and others can do on one front for the personal liberty of people is to talk about strategies moving forward into what I believe is going to be the next century. This leftist dark age is going to take an awful long time, folks. I do not expect to be alive to see the other end of this. It would be nice if I could be, but I don't think I will be. So what I'm going to do is try and lay out some strategies that people can use in the years moving forward. Because if this doesn't stop with us, it can at least start with us. And that's what I talked about in American Sputnik. Now, Americans don't like to wait. We've been raised in a give-it-to-me-now culture for the most part. And most of us are impatient. We don't like starting from the start. Baby steps are something we hate, or as Richard Marchenko put it in some of his books, I hate bleeping square one. But that's where we are, and that's what we have to deal with, and that's what we will deal with. Now, as I pointed out in American Sputnik, what we have to do begins with the education of our kids from K through 12 and beyond. What the left wants to do is summed up in Common Core. And Michelle Obama rather chillingly said that we have to change our traditions and we have to change our history. And let me be clear about this, folks. They mean exactly that. Now, you don't believe me? There was a recent story about a textbook being used in Denton, Texas. That's a suburb of Dallas. Denton is, by the way. That supposedly teaches the history of the United States. And in that, it has its version of our Constitution. And in its version of our Constitution, the Second Amendment, as far as this book is concerned, says that people have the right to bear arms as long as they're in a state militia. This is absolutely not what the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States says, but this is what's being taught in our schools. So, we have to educate the young ourselves. We have to basically deprogram them because Common Core is going to be the new norm in most schools. If we can get our kids out of public schools and homeschool them, so much the better. If we can get them into private schools that have curricula that we approve of, so much the better. But the alternatives for educating our kids are going to grow fewer and fewer as the left slowly tightens its grip on our educational system. They will make sure that no one can get any kind of official certification who hasn't gone through their program. So, what do? We say, welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. That ends part one of The Way Back. And Jeff, ready to hear your reaction and want to welcome the listener that we have in studio. Welcome, listener, Jeff.
Well, that was a very interesting, great aspect of, and this was going back in 2013 that this that you done this, Dave, and it's so much of what's happening today, of what you were talking about back then. It's quite obvious that being like a bit of a seer, you see things that was breaking down, and you can see the time that we live now. Back in 2013, which was a number of years ago. And it's good to see exactly what you was putting together there, Doug, I've got to admit. And of course, it hasn't lost any flavour about of when you've done it, Dave. It just brings you up to date, doesn't it, to what's happening. So I must say, you talk about liberty, freedom. I don't know if you heard the story, Dave, that the place that shelters the Liberty Bell was burnt to the ground the other day. I don't know if you heard about that, Dave. I'm sure you did. It was quite a big story. But that was a bit shocking, that those evil ones out there are trying to put an end to freedom. The Freedom Bell, Dave, that is massive, isn't it? You know, burning something as historic as that is just unbelievable. But, no, thanks for that first part, Dave. I've got to admit, it was very thought-provoking. Thank you.
Hey, welcome, Jeff. And, yeah, I mean, you see today, that was 2013, of course, you see today and earlier this year, statues being toppled all over the place, including the Emancipation Statue, part of which, well, which was paid for, not part of which was paid for in this country by former slaves, was taken down because this apology for an arts commission didn't like it for some reason, because it had Abraham Lincoln in it. And apparently these days, even Abraham Lincoln is verboten from the new woke order, okay? And again, this just reemphasizes the breakdown in society and its effects on all of our freedoms and liberties all across the globe. You guys have seen it in the UK with the Winston Churchill statue being vandalized, and so many of these other things happening in the UK, statues being torn down, writers being taken out of universities and artists being taken out of universities, their writings in art and whatnot, because they're quote-unquote too white or too colonial or whatever other garbage. And the people of the UK basically being treated like second-class citizens in their own countries. See, the way back works in many places in the world, and this is all about regaining that for a future generation. And at the same time, because I know a lot of people are going to say, well, this is just you wanting to do something for the future and you don't want anybody to do anything today. But no, that's wrong. It's like I said, man, this is a lot like the military. You have different people doing different jobs because they are trained to do those jobs, or they have an affinity for those jobs or an ability to do those jobs. Okay, and that is what I was getting at. There are some people who are going to be good at doing one thing and some people who are going to be good at doing another. We can do more than one thing. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Now, Jeff, Is there anything out of the chat?
Is there another way to put it? The hard to put it. Everybody can do something a little bit different than the other. Individualism. Just want to add that, Dave. Carry on, mate.
Well, yeah, you're right. That is what is at the that is what's at the core of it. Self rule, man, and what you can do about it, what individuals can do about it is, yeah, it has a lot to do with individualism. Now, Jeff, do we have anything out of the chat before I start part two?
Let's have a look just to see. No, it's the gentlemen are sitting here listening to what we're sharing with our great listeners out there, Dave. So with that, we have got another of week. I don't know, this number looks familiar to me, Dave. Could be one of our dear friends. It could be. I don't know. He's not put a one up there to if he wants to come in or anything. But I thought I'd let you know already, Bobby, though. But I'll just back to you, Dave, anyway, just letting you know.
Yeah, Jeff, I did say when I came back that I welcomed the listener in studio. Okay, here we go. We're going to go ahead and play part two here. This is about 11 and a half minutes long, and we get into a deeper dive here from 2013. You are listening, guys, to the English Defense League radio show. Check it out. As I said, we have to deprogram our kids because brainwashing is exactly what is going on in our public schools right now. Now, who can do this? I think that this is a great place for churches to help. Churches already do a fantastic amount of charity, and since they're organized, they can take up this task as well. People can bring their kids to the churches, and they can give them proper education, teaching them respect, but also teaching them that some of the principles that they're being taught in the public schools are just plain wrong, and showing the kids why these are wrong. So that at the other end, we will have kids who understand history, ethics, personal responsibility, and respect. And we will also have kids who will understand that they are growing up in a world that increasingly does not believe what they do. We will have to teach our young how to resist the oncoming tide of socialism in a nonviolent and constructive way. And we can do that. That is possible. Now, in American Sputnik, I expanded on an earlier idea that I had called Freedom Boxes or Liberty Boxes. These were materials that I felt a future government might proscribe because they do not agree with what these governments might want. And I included things like the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, that's as of about 2008, the Federalist Papers, Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville, The Road to Serfdom, history school books. This is history school books that were produced before 1975, or history school books that have been properly vetted and do not have leftist content, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and I'm adding one here, Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings teaches some very nice moral lessons. But what I said in American Sputnik, and what I still say, is if people can gather these materials together, they should be in print, first of all, and they should try and get as many copies as possible. One to save for the future, for a time when the people are going to need to have real blueprints of the kind of government that they can control instead of the other way around, and copies for teaching our young, copies for showing people who have an interest, because that's what, as Mr. Schlichter puts it, a real insurgency is about in many cases. It's about information. And at this point, the left controls almost all mass media outlets. So we are going to have to approach the problem from the bottom up. We are going to have basic information and be able to disseminate it in a way that can't be tracked by a future government. And while you can easily track an email, you can't easily track a book that you hand to someone. Now, one thing the lefties have been able to do in furthering their cause, and this ties into education as well, is they've been able to develop songs, poetry, plays, movies, TV, things of that nature that have been entertaining and have furthered their cause. Conservatives have to do the same thing. And yes, I am talking about doing this as a long-term strategy, as part of education. Because we have to remember that even though we're discussing deadly serious business here, there has to be a fun aspect to things. People can't be on a conflict footing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If that happens, you're going to go crazy. So, you have to find ways of entertaining people while putting out the message. And notice I said entertain before I said message. That's what the left does, and that's what the right needs to do. Now, this is not easy to do, and the left have far more practice at this than we do. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn, adapt, and do these things ourselves. And that means that, again, this goes back to doing what you can do. That means that writers who can put together fun stories should write. That means that people who can play music in bands, good music, should go out there and play and try and sell their stuff. That means that visual artists can use their talents. It's all about education. And yes, it does begin with our kids, but it continues with adults. As I put in American Sputnik, education never ends. Now, I talked about the inevitable backlash of the left, and this has already begun because, of course, there are people out there on the right who are already beginning to adopt long-term strategies and short-term strategies, and the left aren't stupid. They can see this, and they're beginning to counter it already, and they have considerable means to do that. Now, one thing I've thought of in the past week or so is that, yes, we should get out there as much as possible, whether we do it through the net or in person or whatever we do, and advocate for personal liberty. And we should save materials for a time when the people will search for a direction because the unsustainable socialist government that they will have been following for generations will have fallen apart. And we have to be ready to come out then and say, this is the direction to take. But because of the backlash from the left, there are going to have to be some of us who are going to have to remain silent. See, the thing about making yourself known to the left, and this, frankly, was one of the things that held me back from doing a show or whatever the hell you call this thing, is that the left will see you, and that will paint a great big target on you. We should keep on for as long as we're able to keep on. That's a tactic. We shouldn't shut up until we're forced to, all right? But it's a good strategy for some, a few, to educate themselves, arm themselves with the materials that I spoke of, not with guns, but with educational materials, and wait in the background and not be targets of the left. Because I feel that there will come a time when it is almost certain that those of us who are speaking out for personal liberty are going to be silenced. And many of us, in fact, I think most of us, are not going to just go away when the left tells us to shut up. That's what's going on now. We're going to wind up getting a harder nudge at some point in the future. So we have to make sure that there are some people who are educated, who say nothing in any form of media. This will ensure that however bad any future government gets, that there will always be a few people out there ready to show the people the way towards personal liberty from socialism. Now, that's all pretty speech and everything, but how do you disseminate information in a world controlled by an overreaching government? I mean, when the internet is no longer accessible to people on the right, how do we get information back and forth to each other? It's certainly going to slow down. Get ready for that, folks. Right now, we enjoy information exchange at a level never dreamed of in recorded history. But the left has its way. That's going to slow down. So how do we do it? We know, how do we get information from one person to another? Well, in American Sputnik, I've suggested using BBSs, bulletin board systems. This was the big way that people used to communicate with each other over computers, but this system may not last that long. So if there's no access to BBSs or short-range Wi-Fi networks between trusted computers, what can we do? How can a future generation move information from person to person in a way that won't be traced? Well, there are machines called typewriters. I know a lot of you older people remember what a typewriter is. And many of those are manual typewriters. They don't even need electricity. A completely untraceable means of more or less quickly putting together information for dispersal. There are other methods too. I mean, if nothing else, can use the handwritten word and can have meetings between people to pass information back and forth. And I want to expand on that a little more. Now, I said that, for instance, one of the things that people are going to have to do is be diverse and individualistic in their choices of things to preserve. I made some suggestions earlier, but none of this is cast in stone. You can, and I think, for instance, should, add the Magna Carta, the writings of John Locke, that's John L-O-C-K-E, the Petition of Right of 1628, the English Bill of Rights of 1688, the United States Articles of Confederation, the Anti-Federalist Papers, and the writings of Frederick Bastiat to the list. Use the imagination and resources that you have. Teach with and preserve what you can. When the day comes that the new patriots begin to form the next republic, that will ensure that there will be a large body of material for those framers yet unborn to study. Now, it might also be wise to include the Bible and or other holy writings in with your Freedom Box or Liberty Box or whatever you choose to call it. I mention this, though many of you probably already have that notion, because in the 2 years since the initial recording of this program, the Islamization of the world has been accelerated greatly by people like the current President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. That future generation, yet unborn, that is going to have to set up a new republic could well be living in a world where any writing, any teaching, anything that is not Islamic will be proscribed, destroyed on discovery, and its owners penalized with jail time or possibly even death. Heavy stuff, and welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And Jeff, there's a blast from both 2013 and 2015 when I updated it a bit. What do you think?
Yeah, very interesting. As I say, because he was talking that perspective of Obama still being in power, and so it was looking out, and no fault of President Trump's presidency, but something that he was thinking about back then, and that's what makes it so interesting. At that time, Dave, that makes it interesting because we was you was talking from the perspective as you know that him in power who shall not be named, who we don't want to name, was holding the power purse at that time. So you was looking at it from that perspective, but also I'd like to just add, I think it was very well, I like your thought. Thinking day behind it, but I just feel of what we've seen over this time since the election took place, I can see there's so much anger out there across the United, not just across the United States, but across the world, to what the evil of the Democrats have done. And I don't think people are going to sit back out here. They're just as me, you know, I don't put anything on it. But I can't see common sense people going to put up with the betrayal and people messing about with their votes. So, David, This is what you're hearing, so much anger. So I'd like to pass it back to you, but Dave, great thoughts there at the time. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Well, you know, again, I give everything to God, Jeff, and that includes this. But I will say, yes, I originally wrote American Sputnik in November of 2012. This was after Obama had been elected a second time. And I could really see the writing on the wall because so many people had lost the moral fiber not to vote for it. Plus, I think that the election process at the time had been monkeyed with even back in those days. But, you know, you project it forward to now. If you notice that with Team Dementia trying to weasel its way into the White House through this phony baloney election, you notice that Obama is out there running his mouth again after he did all the damage that he did back when I put this thing out, okay? And back then, we also have to remember that the Tea Party movement here in the United States was under attack by the United States government using the IRS, the Department of Justice, and other entities, okay, showing the first beginnings of the same shadow government that went after President Trump. So this new Harris-Biden administration, if it takes hold, will just continue what I thought was going to happen back then. Okay, it's the kind of thing that we have to be prepared for. And that's why, Jeff, I say that for a lot of, you know, for some of us in our countries that haven't yet, gone into as much detail standing up for freedom and liberty like you and I have, and like our listener in studio has, some of those people will need to go underground. In fact, and Jeff, this is the twist right here. In fact, some of those people are going to have to pretend to go along with the left. Okay, and this is going to take people with cast iron stomachs, all right, to pretend to go along with these people. Because this is the thing, Jeff and listeners, this is the thing. The left wants us in all of our countries to initiate shooting civil wars so that they can squash us all. And they think that if they do that, they think that if they squash these first revolts that will occur, that will take care of the problem. And that is why I say that a few of us will wind up having to go underground. You see what I mean, Jeff? Because at that point, we will eventually win. Do you have any more thoughts? And is there anything out of the chat room before we hit the final part of this?
My thoughts are that whatever happens, Dave, I will never, ever give up. I will never give in. And I will never give in to any lefties out there, whatever they say, whatever thing they're putting upon me and causing me sort of harm or whatever. I'm never going to give in to them, but other people will go quiet. I understand that. I can't do it, Dave. I'm too loud, too proud, and I am who I am. And that is me. I'll never. And something that your president said, Dave, and I just thought he must be listening to the EDL, you know? I just thought it. He said, we're never going to give up, we're never going to give in, and we're never, ever going to surrender. And I thought, has he been listening to our shows, Dave? He sounded so much like it. Have you been putting him on to us, Dave? It sounds like it. Wow, that was amazing.
Well, Jeff, you know, he and I were talking about golf. He wants me to learn how to play golf, and I think it's a walk spoiled, like Mark Twain said, you know. But I did mention the show, so. But no, I did hear that, and I immediately thought of you, and I thought, you know, if he had been a Brit, Jeff would want me to record that part. But yeah,
definitely, brother.
That's what it's about.
By the way, just to let you know, Dave, before we move forward, and I'm going to have to take a quick break because I've gone over my allotted thing there, so I'm going to have to call back in. But I just want to let you know that Lee has put something in the chat. Thanks, Lee, for that. He says, former footballer John Barnes Now, John Barnes was one of our coloured footballers and a great footballer at the time as well. Condemned football fans who booed players taking the knee in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. I read that wrong. Players taking the knee in solidarity with Black Lives tend to keep the mouth shut. So, no, he was taking the position of the people that booed people taking a knee. He was having to go at them. So, just one thing to John Barnes, fuck you. So, just back to you, Dave. I just read it wrong there, so I've just got to say that. Fuck you, John Barnes. My apologies to our listeners on a Sunday evening, but I just needed to say that, Dave. Thank you. Back to you, Dave.
Well, Jeff, you're making me laugh here, brother. This is all part of the way the left is using culture. This, and we've talked about this before. Before we get into the last part of this, and thank you for that, Lee. Okay, BLM. I'm going to try not to say the words because it's a slogan. It's not what we feel in our hearts. In our hearts, we feel that every life matters. Okay. This
I'll
is
just
something.
Just take that break. I'll be right back, buddy.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Yeah, go ahead. All right. This is something that was created for black people by white leftists. Okay. And if you guys want to go back and check it out on YouTube, I don't think it's been taken down yet. A rapper named Lord Jamar brought that up. He said, "Yeah, this is a false BLM is a false construct of white leftists, and has been given to the black community, or has been pushed on them as some sort of a way of advancing black people through action. But it really isn't about that. It's about advancing socialism." And Lord Jamar called that out, and it is true. And it's the same with this soccer player in the UK. And what is he doing? Culturally speaking, he's telling people, get in lockstep with the left, and just get in lockstep with the left. No excuses, just do it. Okay? It's all part of the left trying to manipulate everything and create a new world order, or as I said earlier, a new woke order. All right. Now, Jeff, if there's nothing else out of the chat, I'm going to go ahead and hit part three. You ready, brother?
Yeah, I'm just going to just let you know that Bigfoot just made a comment. He said, BLM's founders have admitted being Nazis. They just want to put that out there. And thank you, Bigfoot. Yeah. Thank you very much. Back to you, Dave.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you, Biggie. Yeah, that furthers my point. Okay, guys, this is going to be the last part of this. All right, it's going to be about 10 minutes long. So get ready for this. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. And again, just reminding everyone, this is stuff that I did back in 2013 with a smattering here and there of stuff from 2015. Here you go. Let's make no mistake here, people. This is not playing around. As governments not just in the United States of America, but elsewhere become more and more totalitarian, their methods for information control are going to become more and more harsh. Succeeding generations of defenders of personal liberty are going to have to be stronger, and they're going to have to be smarter. I spoke earlier of how some of the teachers and preservers are going to have to go silent so that they will not be detected. You could call that the way of the snake. A snake is a delicate creature that can easily be crushed. So often it must be silent, move carefully, and strike only when the time is right. But there is another lesson that will have to be learned in the post-individual liberty world that will have to be applied in some cases so that teaching and preservation of knowledge can continue. If some being silent and pretending to go along with whatever administration is in charge at the time is the way of the snake, some others will have to practice the way of the chameleon. Along the line between the making of this recording and the New Republic will be a stretch of indeterminate time where leftists and Islamo-fascists will be in charge. Now, thugs like this need to know that they have their boots on the necks of the people. They need wins in order to be secure. And that means that once in a while, someone on what we would today call the right will have to make a sacrifice and publicly say that they have seen the light of socialism, communism, Islamofascism, or whatever flavor of totalitarianism is running the world at the moment. By throwing this kind of red meat at the tyrants of the future, they will better be lulled into a sense of security until the time comes that they can be overthrown. Now, I know everything that I've spoken of sounds rather dire and quite a lot to do. Some of you may even be thinking that it would be pretty much impossible to preserve and teach with the knowledge that I'm talking about. Totalitarian regimes can be very thorough. History has taught us this. But I'm here to tell you that not only can it be done, but that it can be proven that it has been done. Documents on the ancient Roman Republic lasted over 1,800 years from the end of that republic to the beginning of the constitutionally federated Republic of the United States of America. And believe me when I say there were people in power who did not want the populations they controlled to be informed of any other form of government than the one they were living under. And yet, despite that, the documents were preserved, and the teaching continued from generation to generation. If it's been done once, it can be done again. And for the naysayers out there who might be thinking that all I'm talking about would be just starting a multi-generational cycle over again that will inevitably end with more tyranny, I'll point out that the Constitutionally Federated Republic of the United States of America mandated more power to the individual than the ancient Roman Republic. This because the framers of the American Republic were able to study and refine methods of government used before, during, and after the ancient Roman Republic. They took the lessons of their past and formed a better version of a republic. If teachers and preservers of the information I'm speaking of hold to the task and do their jobs well enough through the years, the generation of patriots yet unborn will be prepared to set up a republic that not only mandates more power to the individual, but will avoid any mistakes possibly made by the framers of the American Republic, so making for a better chance that the ongoing cycle of freedom to tyranny and back again will not revert back to tyranny. Now, guys, I understand that what I'm talking about is not the kind of thing you want to hear. We all want to believe that we can resolve this thing in a few years. I don't believe we can. You know, but what if I'm wrong? What if I'm full of crap? Well, you know what? If I am, it's not going to hurt anything to gather the materials that I'm talking about. Because one thing is absolutely for sure. The left is never going to go away. Elitists can gain too much power through socialism. Since I wrote American Sputnik, we've seen that socialists and Muslims have begun to operate in concert, something which is rather frightening to me, but something that I think should not be a surprise to anyone who has any notion of strategy. This is a favorite method. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And right now, socialists are getting together with Muslims to create a control base. And that is going to be something that we have to counter over time. Patience is required in any long-term struggle, and we are going to have patience whether we like it or not. And one other aspect, we're going to have to deal sometimes with allies that we might not necessarily want to deal with. And what I mean by that is that we're going to have to deal with folks that we don't necessarily personally like. We're going to have to deal with people who may not have our same religious beliefs, our same lifestyle choices. Now, there are really good people out there who have really good values, but they don't necessarily want to deal with people who don't share their X, whatever it is. All right. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You're going to have to get over it. All right. That's not something that a lot of people want to hear. But if in the long term we are going to emerge victorious, and I think we will, if we're going to keep the interregnum as short as possible and possibly save a generation or two from living under socialist dominance, we are going to have to ally ourselves with people who aren't 100% like us. Now, don't let the left tell you that only people on the right are like this. Guaranteed, there are plenty of leftist bigots. They just hide it better. They know all the politically correct language. They know how to spin everything so that it looks as if they're not bigots, but we know that there are just as many bigots on the left, if not more, than on the right. So, what do? We ask ourselves the question, which is more important, me being comfortable or me allying myself with whoever I need to further the cause of personal liberty? Now, I think most of the people on the right are going to make the correct choice. And here's something else that some of those folks are going to find. It might even come as a surprise to them. The people that don't necessarily have the same lifestyle choices or religious beliefs or things of that nature are not as bad as they might think. They're going to find this out to their delight. Now, as the new friends of the elitists say, the new friends being the Muslims, say, they have all the watches, we have all the time. And that, I believe, is the strategy, the long-term strategy that we on the right are going to have to develop while we're using short-term tactics. And if we do that, if we're nonviolent, if we're tolerant, if we are respectful, and if we work in this struggle for the return of personal liberty, I know that we can prevail. Now, there will be some who will say that all of this has been defeatist talk, and I bring to them 2 points. First of all, anyone in a struggle who does not allow for a long-term strategy and merely concentrates on short-term tactics is a fool. And the other one, we've already won. We need to understand that personal liberty is something that most people want and most people enjoy. So the question of personal liberty isn't one that we're going to lose on. We haven't lost. We will never lose. We've already won. And I say that with good short-term tactics and a long-term view that is respectful of others, pragmatic, and applied with love, we will find the way back. Whether you listened to this program as part of a series or in total, I want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of you. Take from this program and apply the methods suggested and add some of your own. Thank you for listening. May your God go with you, and may God go with the teachers and preservers of the legacy of personal liberty yet unborn. Goodbye. And that's it. Welcome back to the English Fence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
Very interesting aspect of what you was discussing, Dave. I think there'd be a lot of people out there, though, that will probably disagree that they're not going to take a knee or do that sort of thing. So that's, but I like your thinking, I've got to admit. But, you know, I just look at it this way, that people like myself, who are very steadfast in their ways, are never going to change and never going to adapt to any left or Islamic thinking that is not me or many others, but there will be those who will take a knee, sadly, but that is the point. But the thing is, people like myself and many others like myself are far and few. A lot of people will adapt. You know, survival, Dave, I can understand everything that you were saying, and well put, my dear friend and brother. But there's a lot of us who's going to deny them any way they can. I mean, I won't never accept a leftist view. I see what they've done to our children. I see over the last few years, the indoctrination in the schools over the years, and we've talked about it on many of our shows, haven't we, Dave? And, so I can never accept any leftist or Islamic thinking of whatever the future might behold us all. But that's just me, Dave. But well thought and well said, though, my dear friend. Back to you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate it, Jeff. And yeah, like I said in the last segment, you know, this going underground in this case is not going to be easy for someone who thinks the way you and I do, but who hasn't put themselves out there the way you and I have. And there's the other aspect to this that I want to get into real quick, which is, okay, we have in this show page the links to American Sputnik and this program in total that we just ran without interruption. Now, here has been over the years since I made that show part of a problem. Okay, I've had a few podcasters come and highlight this show, and as a matter of fact, two of them, both the guy listening right now in the studio and Ken McClinton, CEO of TECN-TV, both contributed extensively to the series of shows that came off of that and that I already have scheduled for play after the first of the year. Okay. A big part, a big danger in sharing this information between ourselves is ego. Okay. As I said, when the show first starts, yeah, I wouldn't mind having credit if someone wants to play the show. All right. You know, it's always nice to get a pat on the back, right? But the message is more important than me. And that is something that I think a lot of podcasters are missing. I mean, sure, again, everybody likes credit. to quote Steve Dace, everybody likes me some me, you know. But it doesn't matter whose ideas this stuff comes from. What matters is whether or not these ideas are implemented. That's what matters, Jeff and listeners, to those generations that aren't even born yet. Okay, we need to have things there for them when it is time for them to set up the new republics and the new countries and things of that nature, because you don't want, Jeff, a situation like with the French Revolution where everybody's getting their heads cut off left, right, and center just because they don't stand in the bread lines and declare loudly how super awesome the French Revolution is. You don't want a Robespierre coming up. You want something more like the American Revolution, where the citizen counts for more than the government does. You want something more like that. And if everybody does their job correctly, then that's what that future generation will have. That's what they'll be able to point to and say, no, dude, we're doing this. We're not lining everybody up against a wall and, ventilating their skulls, okay? So it's very important that this get passed around. And ego, Jeff, you know this as well as I do. There's a lot of ego in this business, whether you get paid or not. But ego has to go out the window. What are your thoughts on that?
No, it's a very good point, Dave. You know, I'm looking out, looking in, and I've never been a part of a republic like what you've had, and to see the aspects of actually the thuggery and the stealing of an election for the world to see. And the mainstream, nothing to see here. Even the governors, some of them governors, even Republicans, are not prepared to go against the left-wing thinking. And I think it is totally fucking disgusting. And I am going to, I'm sorry, I swear, though, but it's got to be said. Those people betraying the people, we the people for the people, they're betraying them. They're betraying their votes. And I would say in the next few weeks is probably going to be the biggest thing going in Georgia. You've got to make sure those two great Republicans get through. Otherwise, you've got a very dark time coming to the United States, ladies and gentlemen. So I will say go out and vote. And I know you feel like you've been turned over and spun, but you've got to do it. If you want to keep your republic, fight for it. Fight for it and vote. Vote. That's all I wanted to say, Dave. My voice is going a bit tonight. I don't know what it is, Dave. Back to you, brother.
Right. Well, I'll say this about voting. And, Jeff, you gave me the opportunity, and I appreciate it, both that and the opportunity to put on The Way Back here for people in other countries to listen to and perhaps take some notes from. It's about voting. Now, I'm not going to quote it right now because I don't have it in front of me, but what I said on social media concerning voting in the future is, look, guys, whether it's Georgia or whatever other election it's in, okay, yeah, we understand the election process has been compromised. Okay, we get that. Okay, but you're not going out there and voting because you think that you're going to win. Okay, you go out there and vote because you owe. I owe. Everybody who lives in a free republic or democracy owes. And who do they owe? They owe the people who have gone out over the centuries and who have fought so that we can have those voting rights. All right? People who have lost families because of troubles at home, because they just don't understand what happens in combat. People who have lost limbs, people who have lost eyes. I can tell you, as the unpleasant blind guy, that blindness is a damnable inconvenience, and it's not easy to live with. People who have actually become mentally disabled because of war. People who have stepped up when it was their time to do so and put on the uniform, gone through the training, and went out there in combat and fought so that you could vote. So whether you think the election process is rigged or not, okay, on election day, in person, get up off of your ass and go out there and vote in person. Get a paper ballot if you can do it, okay, but do it. Do it because you owe, all right? And, Jeff, I've got time, we've got time, rather, to play one more thing, and I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like this. This is a goodie.
When he laughs like that, ladies and gentlemen, Dave's up to saying he's up to mystery because I know Mr. Dave. Go on then, Dave. Let's go for it, brother.
All right. Now, what I'm going to play for you, I have to thank Ken McClinton for this because he found this himself. We've seen various people testifying in hearings all over the country regarding this stolen election. Okay, and people, I'm going to play you one. Now, this is a Michigan oversight witness. Okay, a witness in a Michigan Oversight Committee hearing. Okay, and this lady you're going to hear is something else. Now, towards the end, everybody, she will talk about other witnesses that can be called. Listen very carefully to what her last name is. Okay, guys, I'm going to hit this. Okay, it's about a minute, 45 seconds. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
It's going to do what we say tonight. And might I add, I was a U.S. Taxpayer Party of Michigan candidate at that time, sir. I observed stations where election workers were working on scanned ballots that had issues that needed to be manually corrected. I believe some of these workers were changing votes that had been cast for Donald Trump other than Republican candidates. I observed ballots with cursive writing notes at the top right-hand corner. I observed a lot of them. Let's say a count, maybe about 100 of them or more. I also observed these ballots did not have ballot codes on them. The one, you tear at the top, no ballot code numbers. At approximately 4:03 a.m., a poll worker announced, 50 boxes of ballots coming in. Election workers loudly cheered, woo! Why? Did they know that they were for Biden? Was it a Biden dump? We don't know, huh? About 4:50 a.m., I witnessed a man spraying a chemical inside the barrel. It could have been air, but I also saw him put whiteout tape up inside of there, and he was walking around with this whiteout tape during the whole night. I have witnesses. If you need to call on them, their name is Cheryl Constantino, Linda Sawyer, Judy Jump, Debbie Swalf, and Marlene Benson, including myself, Articia Bomber. I can't get all into this because I probably got a few more seconds, but let me tell you, it was voter fraud at its finest, pure and calculated fraud. And I wouldn't be surprised if people up here was involved. But this young man right here, Senator McDaniel, Donald, I got to give you kudos. I see you're interested in this. And Senator Thies, I have to give you kudos because I see you're really paying attention. I wish Senator Lucido was here because I say he's paying attention. And now I think you will pay attention. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this fraud. And that everybody that was part of it and know about it will be convicted and they soul and they spirit, they won't sleep, they won't
eat
until they come right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. And there you go, Jeff.
I love that lady. I love her, Dave.
Let's put it this way, man.
Wonderful. She's a star now, Dave. Definitely a star. Bless her.
Well, let's put it this way, Jeff. Two things, okay? Number one. She was sitting there giving her testimony while holding up a Trump 2020 straw cowboy hat. She was doing that. And I don't know if anybody noticed her last name, but Ken confirmed it for me because I was like, did I just hear what I thought I heard? Yes, her name is T.C. Obama. Her last name is Obama.
No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness me. Does Obama know?
Oh, I'm sure he does, and I'm sure that it...
He does
you
now.
Know, that she... Yeah, I'm sure that she is right now living rent-free inside his head. And ma'am, I hope you pick out some beautiful curtains.
Bit like
and some very nice furniture.
In my Xbox in my dreams, eh? Oh, God, man.
Absolutely. You know, well, but after I saw that, there's video of it, of course. But after I saw that, I put in Ken's chat role, you know, is this lady married? And I'm just wanting to know. but I just thought I'd give you a little something there to kind of end the show on an up note, as you know, because in my opinion, the way back ends on an up note, but a little bit more of an up note never hurts. Okay, Jeff, I got to tell you, man, again, I really appreciate you allowing me to take up the show to do this because it is so important, not just for the United States, but all around the world. You see how these guys are using the Wuhan virus to go around and just choke off everybody's personal liberties. And listeners, all over the world, you're seeing people pushing back now, okay? This struggle is just beginning. When it ends, we don't know, but we do know in the end that we will win. Jeff, do you have anything else before I do my finals?
Yeah, it just seems there's monoliths appearing everywhere. It's a bit like 2001, whatever, like the film. We got monoliths appearing here, there, and everywhere. What's all that about, Dave? Monoliths, and then they disappear, and they turn up somewhere else. Are we a part of a science fiction film, Dave? Is that what it is? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? But, Dave, once again, anytime, brother, that was really well presented, and I'm sure our listeners will take it all on board what you had to say. Very well done. God bless you, brother.
Well, God bless you, Jeff, and I want to say God bless to Lee and Bigfoot, both in the chat, and, you know, everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. I'm also available through Western Free Radio and SHR Media. And I'm on with Ken McClinton on his show, The Exceptional Conservative Show, which is on TECN TV. All right. And that occurs on Thursday nights. Yes, our show is going to be back here on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK. And about 3:15 p.m. in the UK, Friday morning, I will be on with Ken McClinton on TECN TV in his show, doing a regular segment, guys. And You know, please check that out. Okay, that's also going to be after 9 p.m. Thursday Eastern in the United States. My regular show times, though, at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com are 1 p.m. Eastern Monday through Friday. That's 6 p.m. in the UK, and Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. Saturday in the UK. Also, Dave Milner or Agador. That's A-G-G-E-D-O-R. You can catch me on social media there. I'm UBG Contact on Twitter as well, but you can catch me on other social media places such as USA Life, Spreely, Parler. Don't spend a lot of time on Parler, but I am there for show announcements and whatnots. Mumble It, Minds. All right. MeWe, great place, MeWe. And I'm always Agador, hey, on Gap. And I want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, all the freedom fighters out there, guys, whether you're out there on the streets, feet on the streets, feeling all right, doing your thing, or whether you're doing podcasting like Jeff and I do, or whether you decide to go underground, all right, do the thing that you do best to advance us to where self-rule will once again prevail. Because I know you will. That's the thing. We win. Never be turned from that knowledge. We win. So be prosperous. Be blessed. And for goodness sake, no surrender ever. Jeff, take us home, brother.
Yeah, thank you very much. Once again, Dave, thanks for the great finale of your exit there, Dave. I just want to say to you, Dave, if you can make a note, can we add Newsmax to our links here? Because it is awesome. And I'd like people to get to know Newsmax. It is number one at the moment. It's flown Fox off its spot. Let's run with Newsmax, because this is our type of news, what they put out there. So I wanted to promote it on the show tonight, Dave, and I wonder if you can add that to our links for our listeners out there, because they're going to love it. So if we could do that, Dave, add it to our links, it'd be lovely. But once again, I've got to thank you, Dave, for all the great sterling work you've done with the great links and, of course, the great slides and the script for this evening. Thank you so much for everything you do, brother. And Lee, and of course, Bigfoot, it's been a pleasure seeing you, and our great listeners sitting in the studio with us. God bless you all. And with that, we'll see you again this Thursday, and I hope my voice is coming back by then. It was starting to go a little bit this evening. So we better do this. We've got a very short time, and the guys are ready to go. They're ready to go. Okay, lads. So for myself and Dave, take care, stay safe. God bless you all. No surrender ever. And we are going underground. Throw it away, boys.
People might say that I'm but I'm so happy. I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My nuclear tanks will start from its right. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. Pleasure to hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green a flag. To be here, so what you get? You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Tomorrow, la 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 la.
go. Thank you very much. The German, of course, we will be going underground until we resurface again Thursday evening, same time, same place, same channel. So for myself and Dave and from the crew, from everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show, and of course the English Defence League, the.org. Thank you very much, guys. We hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. And as I say, we will see you again this Thursday. So all I've got to say now is this. It's the English Defence League radio show.